Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, so our passage today comes from Genesis 37, verses 18 through to 28. And it says, "They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. When we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And then Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh.' And his brother listened to them. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt."
Thanks, Steph. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this new day, Lord God. As we begin with our first service here this morning, Lord God, Father, we want to rejoice, rejoice in you, rejoice in what you are doing. And we thank you for your faithfulness, your continued faithfulness upon each and every one of us. And so this morning, as we turn our eyes towards your word, Lord God, we ask, Father, that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us this morning. We welcome your presence in this place, Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say,
amen.
Amen. Take a seat, people. Awesome, awesome. So good to have this time. Okay, so we are starting a new series today. Okay, we're starting a new series and it's called On the Job. Okay, On the Job. And so over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be looking at some character qualities that can set us up to be good stewards of the work that God is calling each and every one of us to, right? And so we have to see our job as not just a, it's not just a paycheck. It's not just, you know, it's more than just putting a roof over your head. It's more than just paying our bills. We need to look at it as like, this is the calling that God has given specifically to me, that God has given specifically to you. And each and every one of us have a unique calling in God. Okay? And so the title of my message today is this: in the gritty is the integrity, all right? In the gritty is the integrity. Anyone know natural Libra? I need you to do this in the natural Libra style, okay? So it's like, in the gritty is the integrity, right? Okay, let me hear you. Okay, let's go. Oh, some of you are pretending, man. Why are you pretending? You know you like natural. Okay, so what does it mean to be on the job? What does it mean to be on the job? It means that you're doing a particular task, a particular assignment, right? And it's not just about the task at hand. It's bigger than that. It's about wholeness, it's about purpose, and it's about generations, okay? I like what David Schrock said. He says this: vocation is a word that comes from the Latin word for calling. Okay, in scripture, the word is filled with significance, even dignity. God calls us to himself out of darkness and death into the life and love of his beloved son. Therefore, Christians must understand vocation not as a mundane description of work, but rather a dignified calling to serve God and the creatures who bear his image. And that's every single one of us, all right? I remember my first job out of school. It was a part-time sales assistant in a retail store in Lower Hutt, a city in Wellington, New Zealand. Yeah, Wellington? Yeah. All these Aucklanders are looking at me. Okay, so my role in Remo Sport was to sell shoes, was to sell apparel, okay? And like for me, I didn't know anything about shoes. The only things I knew were Jordans and Kamikazes, okay? That's all I knew. You know, if you know, you know, okay? So the company provided me with some basic training, okay? They brought me up to scratch. They were teaching me about the different types of shoes, right, and the different features, right, the polyurethane, the airbags, because that's when the airbag was quite new, the Jordan Air Maxes, all that sort of stuff, right, and they showing me how to fit the right shoe for the right foot. And there were times that I felt like, oh my gosh, how am I going to remember all this information, right? Because I was fine with basketball shoes, yeah, any day. But when it came to like cross trainers or running shoes, or golf shoes, or walking shoes. And let me tell you, they are not all the same. Okay, you do not play basketball in golf shoes. You do not play basketball in tennis shoes. Okay? I was fine with basketball shoes. I was fine with that. And so what happened was that I was real nervous. I would get real nervous when people would come up to me and ask me about those specific shoes. You know? I didn't put any effort into learning about them, you know, even though I got training for it. It was like just going to that one training to get the free food, and then after that, I'll just forget about it, right? I didn't spend time going over that stuff in my own time, in my work time. And so I'll just turn up to work, put on my happy face, smile at people. Good morning. How can I help you this morning? Right? There was this one occasion that I approached this lady. I said, good morning. Good morning, ma'am. How can I help you this morning? She turned around to me. I'm not a ma'am. I'm not an old lady. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to go to you right now. You know, I was just being nice to you. But, you know, praise God, I'm a Christian now. So I've forgiven her. I've released that. But, you know, I've got a question for you, okay? Who are you when no one is looking? Who are you when no one is looking? When we're on the job and people are around us, we can say the right things, we can do the right things, right? Because people are around us. But when it's just, when no one else is around, what are we like? That's when our real character shows out. And sometimes we can think that since no one's around, I can relax, I can do this. But sometimes they can have major consequences on our life. From our passage today that Steph read, we hear a snippet about the story of Joseph. Maybe he's one of the most popular stories in the Old Testament, the story of Joseph, right? So Joseph is this, he's the youngest son of Jacob. Jacob is his dad. And Jacob has 11 other sons. But Joseph is his favorite. Joseph is his favorite. And Jacob makes it really clear that Joseph is his favorite by giving him this cloak, this robe that has many colors. You know, all the other brothers, they got plain cloaks. But Joseph got this colorful one, right? Wow, bright as the sun. And parents, I would suggest that you don't do this sort of parenting, you know, by giving favoritism to one child over the other, okay? Love all your children the same. All right. Don't give one the colorful robe and the other one plain ones. All right. Okay. So Joseph's the youngest. He's depicted as this teenager. Any teenagers in here? Yes, I see some teenagers in here. Yep, Sam's a teenager at the back there. And so he's this teenager, and it's obviously clear that he's favored by his father. And so everything that Joseph does is to please his father. Keeping his father happy. That's Joseph's motivation. But I don't think Joseph is aware of the tension that has been created between him and his brothers by the way that his father's treating him, right? He thinks, oh, it's just my dad being good to me. But it's created this tension between him and his brothers. Now, I say this because I too was once a teenager. Yes. I was a teenager. Yeah, I know. Hey. Pretty slick. You know this photo here? This was taken, I think this was here in Brisbane. We came over for a rugby trip. And, you know, like teenagers, you take photos in front of cars that are not your car. You know? And so that's what me and my mate, that's my mate Afa, right there. You know? Posing in front of someone's car. Lucky we didn't end up on the 6 o'clock news. But Joseph, you know, and like I was a teenager, and I thought, as a teenager, I thought I knew everything, right? I thought I knew everything, but the reality was my brain hadn't fully matured, right? My brain hadn't fully matured. And I think Joseph may have thought that he knew everything as well, but the reality for him is that his brain hadn't fully matured, bro, okay? And so because of this immaturity, because of this late development of his brain, it got him into trouble at times. So Joseph has this dream in Genesis 37:5. And he tells his brothers this, bros, come with me. Man, I had this awesome dream last night, man. It was like weird. You know, we were out in the field, we were doing our work, and then all of a sudden, you know, my sheave that I was, you know, binding together, it just stood up straight, and then all of your guys' sheaves, it just came around and started bowing down to my one, man. It was like, whoa, it was like really cool. It was awesome. And then you know what happened? The brothers, they were really happy for him. They lifted him up. They put him on his shoulders. And they were singing songs of praise. And they were going, la, 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 la. Yes, Joseph had this dream. And it's awesome. You know, none of that happened. His brothers were fuming at him. They were angry at him for coming up with this. Bro, you reckon we're going to bow down to you? To you, little moips? You? We're not bowing down to you, bro. You're a dreamer. And so you can sort of sense the tension here, right? The older brothers, they were not impressed by little brother coming with this big dream, right? And then there's this other instance of Joseph just running his mouth again, not thinking things through, because he's a teenager. No teenagers do that, right? All the teenagers think about their consequences, right? I'll talk to your parents about that. So he has another dream. He has another dream, Joseph, where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they're bowing down to him. And so this time, it's not just his brothers that are bowing down, it's his mom and dad that are bowing down to him as well. So our reading picks up where the brothers see Joseph coming towards them. And so immediately they're like, oh my gosh, here comes that dreamer. Here comes that wannabe. Question for us. Are there people that are in our own life that sets us off when we see them coming? There's some sniggly laughs. You know, are there people that we know that we see them in the shop and think, oh no. You know, you're asking, well, why is he here? Why is she here? Right? Are there people like that? These can be indicators. These can be indicators to ourselves. If we're not self-aware, okay, these can be indicators for ourselves that there's some issues in our heart, in my heart. Not about them, but this is what's happening in you. What you're thinking about. What is going on in your own personal heart. And this can change us for the worse, where we can become cold, numb, bitter, even distant from the people around us because of this perception that we have. This was Joseph's brothers. They were on the job. They were shepherds. They had responsibility. And this is what was happening in their heads. This is what was happening in their hearts. They had this bitterness, this tension towards their brother. Genesis 37:20, it says this, come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him and we will see what will become of his dreams. Wow. Talk about a family drama, right? Joseph was no longer a brother to these guys. He was now an enemy. He was an enemy to his own brothers. All they wanted to do was, nah, let's kill him. Let's get rid of this guy. Throw his body into that pit over there. And they were even going to go as far as telling a lie to their father about what would happen to Joseph. They're thinking about all these things. This was the condition of the hearts of Joseph's brothers. Now I want to ask us a question that I asked earlier. Who are you when no one is looking? What's going on inside of your heart when you see people that you may have some unresolved issues with? What thoughts are going on? What are you thinking about that person? Maybe what are you wanting to do to that person? Right? Now let's jump ahead a bit. We're going to jump ahead in the story of Joseph to another part in Joseph's life where he's now in prison in Egypt. So how does Joseph end up in prison in Egypt? Well, in Genesis 39, Joseph is thrown into this pit, and then these travelers are going by, and then his brothers decide, oh, you know what? Let's sell him. Let's sell him to these guys. They can sell him off, be a slave, whatever. But let's give him to these guys. And these guys, this group of people, they were going down to Egypt. And so when he gets down to Egypt, Joseph is brought by a man by the name of Potiphar. And Potiphar is an officer in Pharaoh's army. He's the captain of the guard. Okay? And so he brought Joseph to be a slave in his own personal house. It says in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. And the success flowed into Potiphar's house. Integrity can result in success. A person of God-filled integrity can reap the rewards of success. And that's what we see here in the life of Joseph. God was with him. He was filled with God. And so naturally, everywhere that Joseph went, there was favor, there was blessing, even in Potiphar's house, even in an Egyptian house. But there was even some tension in that house as well. There was tension in that house. Just like there was tension in his own house when he was back with his father and his brothers. This tension in the house is from Potiphar's wife. She's trying to hit on Joseph. Hey, Joey. Can you come and help me? Oh. Don't let me get my jandal out, girl. Okay? No, Joseph. Don't do it, Joey. Don't do it, Joey. Run. Run, Joey, run. And that is exactly what Joseph did. He ran. And I love Joseph's response here. He says to her in Genesis 39:8-9. He says, my master trusts me. My master. He's talking about Potiphar. Okay? My master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you. You, woman, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. This is the response of someone, of a person of integrity. How can I do such a wicked thing? Joseph knows the difference between right and wrong. He knows the difference between truth and lies. He knows who he would be sinning against if he commits this sin. In the gritty is the integrity. In those moments in our life where we can choose one way or another, one path or another. But it's in those moments of choice that we get to choose whether we'll roll with everyone else and do what they're doing, or whether we'll take a different path and choose God's way, choose a different path. And it can be as simple as saying, look, I'm living by a different standard. You know, I'm choosing to live this way because I want to please God. And so the question for us is, do we know the difference between right and wrong? Do we ourselves know the difference between right and wrong? Do we know the difference between truth and lies? Do we know who would we be sinning against if we committed that sin? The integrity of Joseph reminded him of this. Who are you when no one is looking? What do you do when no one else is looking? What goes on inside of your head and in your heart? What are you thinking about when no one else is around? So when her advances on Joseph doesn't work, Potiphar's wife resorts to lies about Joseph, making it out that he tried to attack her. Sounds really similar, right, to what his brothers did. They lied as well. They told a lie. And so there's this repeating pattern again. But there's also a repeating result as well. The pit that Joseph's going to get thrown into now is going to be a prison. And it is in this prison, in this pit, where Joseph is really humbled and surrendered to God. Because this time, no one else is around. No one else is around. And so he's there, just him, himself, and God. And it's in this prison, in this pit, that he finds relationship with God, that he finds a deeper relationship with God. Away from all the distractions, away from everything else, the busyness of life, away from everything. But it's in this pit, in this prison, that he is able to hear from God, talk with God, and change for God. Right? Now I know that there may be some of us in here today. And maybe you're in a pit right now. Maybe you're in a prison. Maybe not a physical prison, but maybe it's a mental prison, an emotional prison. Right? Things are going on in your life. Stuff is happening. You don't know how to process it. But you're trying to make it out to everyone else that's out, you know, your family, your friends. You're making it out to them. Nah, I'm all good. I got this. I'm sweet ass. But inside, there's an eruption that's about to happen. You may see yourself as being buried by the situations of life. I want to talk from the position of a parent, of a father. Man, we got bills to pay. We got finances to sort out. We got kids to try and keep in line. Who loves their kids? Amen. Right? And then there's work. There was a delayed hand by Maria there. But then there's work as well, right? If you're working, you know, for the purpose of, you know, earning an income for your family, in that environment itself, it can have its own challenges, its own struggles, right? Even in the different groups that you may, you know, be part of. At the gym, part of a community group, part of a sports team, young people in your classrooms. I'm sure you're not all one big happy family singing kumbaya in your classroom, right? It's like little cliques all over the room. But those are the challenges that every person is thinking about and trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I walk through this? On the inside, you're hurting. On the inside, you're broken. You're confused. You're tired. You're questioning God. You're probably even questioning God whether you should even be here today, right? But I believe that God brought you here today to hear this message. That whatever you may be going through in your life, number one, God loves you. He loves you. And I know that in this society and today, we may think, oh, here we go again. But I need to tell you, we need to remind ourselves afresh that God loves you. You as a person. You individually. You as a man. You as a woman. God loves you just the way that you are. He wants the best for you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, the dreams and goals that you have desired. He wants to fulfill those. They're not forgotten by God. Just because you don't think about it anymore, or you may think that, nah, it's not happening. God knows. He's seen it. Memory bank for God. Right? God knows every detail about them. And He wants us to align our desires with His will. Our desires with His will. You know, sometimes we want God, can you align your will to my desires? It's like, nah, it doesn't work that way. God's will is the way that we want to walk. It's the path that we want to walk down. It's the journey that we want to be on. But sometimes we're in this world where like, oh, nah, God, can you see that girl over there, God? Can you make her be my girlfriend? God, please, you know? That's you trying to force God's will, you know, onto your desires. But God has this pathway that He wants us to walk along. And He wants us to walk along that with Him. He doesn't want to let us go down it by ourselves. He wants to walk alongside it with you. So there's this weight that you've been carrying. And it's like you've gotten used to it. You've gotten used to carrying the extra baggage in your life. And so you think that there's nothing that you can do about it. It's just part of my life. It's just the way it is. And you've grown to accept this unnecessary extra baggage that you have been carrying as just part of your life. But that's not part of God's plan for you, all right? In Matthew 11:28-30, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Jesus' words to us. Is there anyone in here that's tired? And I'm not just talking about physical tired. I'm talking about emotional tiredness, mental fatigue, right? Maybe you're in a place where you don't sleep well at night because you got stuff happening in your head. Stuff's going on in your head. You're thinking about what's happening now and you're thinking about what could happen because that's normal. That's what people do. Let me give you some good news. Jesus invites you to come to Him. He's inviting each and every one of us to come to Him. There is a refreshing experience awaiting those that will come to Jesus and follow Him. Jesus says, "I will give you rest." Who wants rest from their situation? Yeah? Who wants rest from their mental fatigue? Who wants rest from the bombardment of life that they're walking through right now? I do. Every day. Jesus invites us to take up His yoke, which is easy and light. Now, I just want to illustrate something, okay? I want to get my boys up here. Lennox and AJ. Come up, please, boys, please help me. Okay, I just want to show you something here. Yes, give them a hand. Okay, so I'll get you to come stand over here, please, boys. Okay, so over here. Okay, so when I say I want you to hold the ball out the front here, don't worry, this is not a strength class we're doing here. It's an illustration, I promise. Illustration, okay? Okay, so we'll start with AJ. AJ on that side there. So most of us go through life like AJ. AJ here, he's a big, strong young man, right? And this here, this is representative of the burden that he's carrying. Okay, so AJ, he's a really nice guy. He wants to help people. He wants to encourage people. And so what he does is that he helps people, man. He you know, that a friend comes to him and he says, "Oh, bro, I'm going through some stuff. You know, I need some encouragement." And AJ says, "Bro, I got you. I'm here for you." Right? And he's carrying that. AJ here, he's got stuff in his own family. He's a student. He's at a new school, or maybe he's starting a new job. And there's tensions in those things alone, right? Starting a new job, starting a new school, man, trying to make new friends and stuff like that. That's a struggle. That's stuff he's having to carry. That's all here too, right? And then, you know, maybe he's struggling with his brothers and sisters, like Joseph did, right? There's some, you know, tension there with his siblings, right? And that's normal, right? I think it's normal, isn't it? Sometimes you don't want to kill each other, though. But, you know, there's that sort of side that's happening as well. And then he may have some struggles that he's carrying with in relationship with his parents. Maybe he hasn't connected properly with his parents, and there's stuff that he's working through. And so no, this is all here. This is what he's carrying. We don't see this. But on the outside, oh, he looks like a nice young man. Well-mannered. He looks quiet. Humble. Oh, he's got a beautiful smile. But this is on the outside. You don't see what he's carrying. Over here, my man Lennox. Handsome young man. He's a young Joseph, right? He's the same. He's got the same situation as AJ. He's got stuff. He's got friends that are going through stuff. They come to him. But the difference with Lennox is that he encourages them, bro. Let's go to God. I'll go with you. Let's go to this in prayer. Let's take this to God. I'm with you. And he leads his friends to their place of the cross, to the cross of Jesus, where Jesus takes his burdens. And so that's why he's got a lighter weight, because he's taking it and leaving it at the cross with Jesus. Both nice young men on the outside, but we don't see what these guys are carrying on the inside. Where are we when it comes to carrying the burdens of our life? We can all look good on the outside, but man, the things we're carrying, it can get hard. It can get tiring, right? It ain't easy to carry those things, especially when you're not made to carry them. God did not purpose us to carry this extra baggage. He purposed for us to give it to Jesus, to bring it to the cross, and invite Jesus to take those burdens. And then Jesus gives us a lighter, easier yoke to carry, right? Let's give our boys a hand. Thank you, boys. So on the outside, we can all look good. We can come here and smile and wave, put on a happy face. But inside, we're carrying this burden. Burdens. And it's a struggle. And sometimes we think, man, I've got to do this on my own. I can't let anyone else know that I'm struggling with this. Because that's what society wants you to think. You have to walk through this by yourself. You have to do this yourself. You got to do you. Nah, that's not the way of the Bible. God invites us. Jesus invites us to come around him, to come to him, to bring it to him, and then he will walk with us. A lot of times in my own personal life, he has carried me through stuff. But it has to arrive at that point of where we decide, we make a decision, am I going to carry this, or am I giving this to Jesus? And so I think, even in the midst of our community, one thing I want to really want to highlight for us being here in Logan, is this: you are not alone, okay? I'm not singing Michael Jackson, no. You are not alone, okay? Don't isolate yourself. Don't think you got to figure it out yourself. If you're part of a church family, a spiritual family here, please see this group of people here as your family, okay? We're family. And I know that, you know, you may be sitting here thinking, oh, I don't really know them. Well, then get to know them, right? There's an opportunity for you to get to know each other, okay? And so I would encourage us. This is something that Steph shared at the beginning of our service today. She was sharing during the prayer time, during our prayer meeting early in the week. There were some prophetic words that were shared, and one of them was that family was big. And that's what I see here in Logan. When I look around our community, I see family is big. Family is good. But you know what's even better? God's family. When we are founded on God, being part of God's family first, all our other relationships with other families within our community, they're built strong on that. And so I want to encourage us. If you're visiting here from another church and you're planted and serving in that church, please stay in that church. Stay in your church. We're not into about pulling people into this church. Okay? We're about reaching people who don't know Jesus yet. And that's our heart, to reach people who don't know Jesus yet. And that means they're going to be different from us. That means they're going to do things different to us. And we need to be okay with that. We need to be okay with that. We can't impose on them that, oh, you got to do it this way. Oh, you got to come looking like this, bro. You got to come and dress like this. It's like, is that what your God is? Nah, no thanks. Did God do that to us? Did he tell us, oh, you have to dress a certain way? Oh, you have to shave? You have to get rid of your haircut? No. He accepts us just the way we are. So that should be our heart for people that we're reaching in our community here in Logan. Befriend them. Build relationship with them. Get to know them. Don't just say, oh, hey, Israel, bro, you know, what are you doing on Sunday? Why don't you come to church? Nah, don't do that. You're going to like, oh, so you just want to know me just to get you to your church, right? Nah. Hey, Israel, what are you into, bro? Oh, he's into, you know, instruments. Oh, I play an instrument. Oh, can we want to go for a jam one day? Oh, sweet. Get together, have a jam, build, show the character of Christ to Israel, right? Let him see Christ in you. Hang out with him. Build relationally. Go have food. Go eat. Whatever you need to do to build with him. Eventually, Israel's going to get to him. Bro, why are you different? Why are you doing this? And that's an opportunity for you to share your testimony of what God has done in your life. Right? It isn't about just trying to get people to walk through the doors and get them here to church. It needs to start with relationship. Starting with relationship. So, I want to encourage us this morning, wherever you may be. You know, I really believe that, you know, God is wanting to do a work in us. He's wanting to do a work in each and every one of us. And so today, I hope you've been encouraged by the message. I hope that you've been encouraged by what God is wanting to do in and through you. And I want to give us some space right now to, you know, maybe there are some things that God has begun to speak to you. Some situations, some relationships that you are going through, that you are, you know, you're finding it a bit of a challenge, a bit of a struggle. You know, I want to give you some space to talk to God about it. Talk to God, you, okay? Sometimes our first point of contact when we go through struggles, got to ring my friend. Oh, Helen, can you please listen to me? Oh, no, 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 no. Right? But it's like, man, let's go to God first. Let's go to God first. Pray. If you don't know the words to pray, just pray exactly what you're feeling. God, I'm angry with this person. God, why am I feeling this way? Whatever you're going through in your life right now, if I can invite every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want to give you some space right now where you are, just to, maybe God's been showing you some things in your own personal life. You as an individual, you as a man, you as a woman, wherever you are, God's showing you some things, whether it's faces, whether it's reminding you of situations that you're going through. I really believe God wants to deal with that this morning. He wants to begin the process of dealing with that this morning. And so firstly, there's two calls I want to give out this morning. The first one is, this is the first time you've heard this message, a message of coming to Christ, of coming to Christ and giving your life to Him. And you think, man, I want to do that. I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus. If that is you, then if you could just wave your hand at me, and I would love to pray with you. If that's all right? If that is you, if you can put up your hand, then I can pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. The second call I want to give is this. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, from 0 to 100 years, whatever. But maybe today God's showing you some things, reminding you of, man, how have you been living? What are the things that you think about when no one's around? And God's been showing you some stuff that He wants to deal with for you as a person. And so I want to invite you, if you need prayer in anything, you don't even have to say what it is. God already knows if He's already prompted it to you. He already knows what it is. But it's about someone coming around you and praying with you, standing with you. Whether it's relationally, financially, emotionally, physically, if you need some prayer, then I want to invite you, please just shoot up your hand. We have a team of prayers there, a team of that would love to pray with you as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing in the hearts and minds of your people here this morning. I pray, Lord God, and thank you for what you are doing in the midst of our lives. Father, we thank you that you have each and every one of us in the palm of your hand. And Father, the struggles that we may go through in our life, whether it's relationally, emotionally, financially, whatever it is, Lord God, Father, we want to bring it to you. We want to bring it to the foot of the cross, to Jesus. Jesus, you invite us. You invite us to come to you. And so this morning, Father God, we are coming to you in our hearts to give to you our lives, to give to you the burdens that we have been carrying our own life, that we've been carrying, and we thought we had to carry it because it was on me to carry. But Lord, this morning we have heard from your word that that's not part of your plan. You didn't create us to carry those burdens. And so Father, this morning, we thank you for the work that you are going to do through each and every one of us. From the youngest person here to the most mature person here, Lord God, you are going to do a work. You are going to do a work. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. So if we can go to our discussion question, okay? So I want you to, what we're going to do, we're going to go into discussion. Here's a question here, okay? What are some practical decisions that I can make in my own life that will help align my character with the character of Jesus? Okay? So I want you to have a talk about it with the person next to you. Have a talk about it. Then I want you to spend some time in prayer for each other. Okay? Highlighting those things. I'll give you like 3 minutes. Okay? Talk about it. What is it that God has shown you during this message? Okay? So in partners, in pairs, or threes max. Okay? So we have enough time to do this with each other. Okay? Is that all right? 2 to 3 minutes. And then our team will come and we'll respond to God's word. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.